up, everybody? We back. R2C2, another week. I'm back. I'm finally back.
Yeah, man. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, bro.
Know you attended to some family things, man. Certainly sending love to you guys.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Yeah.
Before that, pulled off the, 36 hours in Vegas?
Man, yeah, it was. It was good. It was a good New Year's Eve, though. We flew in, touched down, took the kids to this place called Mega Mart. It's like a museum where you go in there and take pictures, like this big-ass thing. Went to Carbone's, woke up, went to we saw the fireworks, woke up, went to the game, and got on the plane. It was a good weekend.
That's awesome, man.
It was aggressive, but it worked out. It was
good. Yeah, super aggressive. We probably
spent maybe fucking 6 hours in the room.
Really?
Yeah.
That is hilarious, man. Did all the kids enjoy it too?
Yeah, the kids loved it. It was Jaden's first time being in Vegas, so it was good. We got a chance to see Bruno Mars. It was a good holiday weekend.
What made you guys do it? Like, it's a ballsy move to say, you know what? We're going to go for 36 hours and we're going to pack all this in.
We're never home on New Year's. Like, we just are never home. And this year, Saya, she's a big-time dancer in her school, Holy Angels. They're the number one dance team in the state, so they practice like crazy. So we couldn't leave. We couldn't go anywhere. We usually go to Bahamas, DR, or something. So we were like, I was like, man, the Raiders are playing the Niners. I knew it was going to be a lot of people from the Bay out there. And we just decided to do it. So it was good. We left Saya behind. Saya and my mom stayed behind. But, you know, me, Jaden, Amber, Carter, and Lil C, we flew out there 36 hours. And everything, everything had to be right on schedule.
Yeah.
And it was. It worked out perfectly. We got lucky.
You pulled it off, man. Well,
we got lucky.
Well done, C. There's a little interesting baseball news, which we'll get to in a moment, but we wanted to start where all of our attention as sports fans is this weekend, see, and that is the NFL playoffs. Mm-hmm. We get, first of all, wild card weekend is even more fun now with the extra playoff team. You know, it's just
wild card weekend, man.
Yeah, it is. It's great.
It's much fun.
Because of it, you get, so Saturday, you get the two games, the 4:30 and the 8:15. You get Seattle, San Francisco, and then the Chargers at Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
Then Sunday, you get a full slate. You get it like a normal football Sunday because you have 1 o'clock with the Bills hosting the Dolphins. Then you have 4:30 with the Giants at Minnesota. And then you have the final game with Cincinnati hosting Baltimore. And then you get a Monday night game, which is a great game with Dallas at Tampa Bay. So it's just like the added game, see, first of all, because of it, you get an extra day. And then you also get that like full slate on Sunday, which I really like.
Yeah, man, it's cool. It's like Sunday's going to be like a Thanksgiving watch. You know what I'm saying? Where you get the early game, you got the game that everybody be paying attention to, which is the 4 o'clock was the Giants and the Vikings, and then you got the late game. So I think that Monday night game is going to be epic, though. I think that's going to be, Dallas and going against Tom Brady and the Bucks. I think that's going to be a lot of fun to watch, and especially with Dallas's struggles here lately. I mean, obviously we know they got the team to contend for a Super Bowl, but you know you got to go out there and execute. So it's going to be fun to see how this shit shakes out, especially this weekend. It's going to be should be interesting. I mean, The Giants have a chance to knock off the Vikings for sure.
Oh yeah, and my guy Kirk Cousins,
and your guy Kirk Cousins, Kirk Cousins and Danny Dimes going up against each other.
Hey, same two guy. Quarterbacks,
same
two,
guy,
two quarterbacks that I believe in. Two quarterbacks.
Now, what did Saquon call him? Vanilla Vic. That's his name, Vanilla Vic.
Hey, let me tell you something. He looked really good 2 weeks ago, man. He played an outstanding game with them clinching a playoff spot.
I love the fact that they sat everybody too. You know what I mean? Like that's the right way to do it. Is to be able, you know, you're in, sit everybody, and they still played a great game. They played the Eagles tough. Eagles had to play their starters that whole game to be able to get that number one seed.
And the way I look at it too, C, is, you know, for this team, especially for the Giants, like your goal, I mean, first of all, I don't even know if people would say the goal was to make the playoffs because I don't think anybody was expecting that, right? But like your goal or like a goal that maybe even wasn't on the table was achieved. No reason to mess around with that week 17 with nothing on the table for you. And I'm glad, I agree. I'm glad they rested who they did. This has been a year that has, for me, made me believe in Daniel Jones. And I think the reason is, like, I've seen him make plays. I've seen him win games. I've seen him reduce the mistakes. And I've also seen him do all this without any kind of premier receivers or anything close to it. You know, like, I mean, yeah, Saquon Barkley, you know, performed this
Sterling
year.
Sterling Shepard went down early.
Yeah. And Saquon
Barkley. And he was
Barkley,
having a good year.
He was. Barkley, all-world running back who has played like it, right? But other than that, there's not a receiver there that you'd say is anything, you know, close to a Pro Bowl caliber receiver. Like, what does Daniel Jones look like if he actually gets some top-tier wide receiver targets? So I think it's been a big year for him, and I agree. See, that's that is maybe the most intriguing. That and the Monday night games, I think, are the biggest, like, intrigue matchups this weekend.
You know what's crazy too is that I think the Jags are going to beat the Chargers, bro.
I think they could, man.
I think they
their
are.
Defense hosting.
Yeah, and I think first of all, they playing it in Jacksonville, and I think, you know, Nick Bosa being hurt, I think it's going to obviously help the Jaguars. But I just think that they on a roll. They've been playing good. Defense is good. Trevor Lawrence is doing enough, like making enough steps, you know, in the right direction to turn this to. You know, not turning it around. Obviously, they're in the playoffs, but to take the next step to beat that elite quarterback. And I think this might be, I think they're going to win this weekend.
Does it shake your confidence at all how not great Lawrence looked in the finale against Tennessee last week?
No, because those games are division. Those division games are tough, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, trying to go out and win the AFC South was, you know, it was a big game, and obviously he didn't play well, but I think he can turn it around and play well against the Chargers. If Derwin James is not, like, all over the field and playing well and Nick Bosa's hurt, the Chargers are not very that great. You know what I'm saying? Like, they should be a lot better. I think it's the coaching. They have everything to be a great team, but it just seems the culture is not right over there.
So that Saturday, do you give Seattle any shot whatsoever in San Francisco?
Man, the only reason I say that they might have a shot is because they in the same division.
Yep.
And you got a rookie quarterback making his first playoff start. You know what I'm saying? But the Niners are fucking, I think they're the best team in the playoffs, bro.
I think they are too.
You know, their record's not going to say it. I mean, I know, you know, Philly's been the best team all season, but just the pieces and everything that they have, the Niners are pretty fucking good, bro. And they're physical and fast. And, like, they play fast and play – like, they play to hit you in the mouth. So, I like their style of football. I hate saying that because I fucking hate the 49ers. But I love the brand of football that they play. And I think it's going to serve them well in the playoffs.
I mean, it is also, like, the most incredible testament to what they have built and what Kyle Shanahan has going there. To see this team with three different quarterbacks this season and look at them and say, yeah, they're the best team. Like, how many teams could you say they're going to go to their third quarterback of the year and be by far and away, or look like by far and away, the best team in the NFL going into the playoffs?
You know what's crazy is that this is the best their offenses look, too, with the third-string quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is the best that they've been clicking on offense with Brock Purdy in there, you know what I'm saying? So it's like,
yeah,
it's almost like trade both of the other guys and like,
yeah,
let's just rock out with this guy and see what you can get for Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's also what I like about it too, see, is it's a no excuses type thing, right? Like, they didn't lose their quarterback and say, we can't do this. They didn't lose their backup quarterback and say, we can't do this. Obviously, their backup was someone they've done it with before, but, you know, they're built to withstand any individual injury. And in football, you need that. Like, yeah, you know, okay, there are some exceptions, of course. Like, Patrick Mahomes goes down. He's such a unique, singular talent. Like, you're not going to be able to withstand that. But if you are a team that has a good quarterback, but not like a, you know, generational quarterback, you need to not let the whole team fold if that guy goes down, right? And like that just goes for any position across the football field, I feel like, because you're going to have injuries. It's football. Like that's the sport. And the Niners have built their team where it's like, to me, there's no one player that you look at and you say, oh, if he gets hurt, they got no shot. It's like, no, like their system, their mentality, the way they play and their personnel, the depth of it kind of makes it feel like they can win no matter what.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's great to be built like that. You know what I'm saying? I think they're the only franchise in the sport that's built that way, where they can have two quarterbacks go down and still everybody still be picking them as the best team in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Right. And the depth that they have. Like, I don't think there's any other team that has as much depth and, like you said, the mentality that they play with.
Right, because if you look at the other teams, top teams in the NFL, right, in these playoffs, okay, you'd say the Bills obviously are incredibly reliant upon their all-world quarterback.
Yeah.
Right. Obviously the Bengals, same thing. Nothing's happening if Joe Burrow's not there. With the Chiefs, same thing. Nothing's happened if Patrick Mahomes isn't there. And by the way, there's obviously nothing wrong with that. That's normally how football teams win, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just shows you what an incredible outlier the San Francisco 49ers are. That they
and we just named the three best quarterbacks in the league. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, exactly.
So, I mean, yes. Everybody else is a tier below. You know what I mean? Or a tier or two below that.
Yes. It is. It's amazing that San Francisco can be as formidable as they are without having one of those quarterbacks. I think that's what's really amazing, and that's really the statement about their football team. They're the one team in these playoffs who you look at, and they don't have a quarterback who's anywhere near an MVP race, and you're saying, yeah, but I kind of think they're going to win it all.
And they're the only team that people were picking to win, because these other teams, like, no offense, but nobody's picking Miami to win. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody's picking the Giants or the Vikings to win. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't have one of these all-world quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's true.
You know
what
I mean?
That's 100% true. And you know what? You also, Atta makes a really good point. Like, the in-season acquisition of Christian McCaffrey, just incredible. Like, his fit, the way he's used. Like, you know, I feel like in the NFL, you usually don't see in-season trades that have that kind of an impact.
What the fuck the Panthers were thinking, but there's no way that they should have ever traded that guy to the 49ers.
Yeah.
Under any circumstances. Like, just as a football fan, like, under any circumstances, there's no way he should have got traded to the Niners. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck are you guys doing?
It's incredible, man. This team now, they are. Sorry, we both got, I think San Francisco destroys them, destroys Seattle on Saturday. I'm with you, C. I think Jacksonville is going to win that home game. And maybe, you know, maybe Trevor Lawrence takes another step in sort of his, like, ascent into our consciousness about, you know, top quarterbacks in the NFL. How about Miami, Buffalo, in Buffalo? Do you give Miami any shot to hang without Tua?
Well, no Tua, nah, not at all. I think it's going to be Buffalo, especially up there. I mean, in that temperature is going to be cold, so I got Buffalo in that one.
Same. I got Buffalo as well. Giants at Minnesota, that's an interesting one.
Yeah. I'm going to take your squad, bro. I think I'm going to go with the I'm going to go with the Giants, man. And I mean, they're getting three points on my little app right here. But
yeah,
I think I'm going to go with the Giants. I just don't believe in Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. I think Minnesota has been underrated for significant periods of this season. However, of course, I'm not going to pick against the Giants in a game like this where I think they realistically have a chance. But also, because of what that game on Christmas Eve, I think, did for the Giants' confidence. You know, I think the Giants are the kind of team who, you know, because they haven't been here in such a long time, that kind of performance probably helps a little bit with belief. And also, you got to love Daboll, who's done an unbelievable job, new front office as well. I think it's going to be a down-to-the-wire game. I won't be remotely surprised if the Giants lose, but I'm with you, C. I'm going to pick Big Blue to pull it off there. and to keep this rolling and give us what'll be a really intriguing divisional weekend here in New York. It's just nice to have a playoff game again, man. Like, that really is. How about Baltimore at Cincinnati? It doesn't look like Lamar Jackson's playing. Do you give Baltimore any chance without him to win at Cincinnati? It's been one of the hotter teams in the NFL.
Nah, Cincinnati's been on a roll. I mean, if Lamar was playing, I would have picked Baltimore, just because Cincinnati, they've won like 9 in a row. I think it's going to be hard for them to, like, you know, keep that up during the playoffs. So I would have picked them if they had a healthy squad, but I think Cincinnati would, without Lamar, is just going to be too much for them at home.
Also, Cincinnati, which is sort of the opposite of what they used to be, they sort of have this feel of they know how to win when they have to.
Oh, yeah. No, that's Joe Burrow, though, guys. Yeah. Like, that switch with him. Just like with him even saying, like, you know, the window. Yeah, no, but like,
he was. The window's, like, as long as he plays.
It's open, cuz. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, as long as I'm fucking healthy and I'm out here, it's open. So the switch in, like, how you see the Bengals is because of who's playing quarterback.
You're right. And it's funny because it just shows you how much, you know, like, the 49ers are the exception that proves the rule, right? Like, what's happening with the Bengals is the rule. Like, a quarterback changes everything.
And that's what I've been saying. That's what I've been saying for so long. And that's why I've been so frustrated with the Vegas situation and just understanding that guy was never going to take us to the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? Like, he may come to the Jets and have a great couple years, but he's never going to win a Super Bowl. And it just kind of is what it is.
Yeah. No, 100%. I think that it's so interesting because, like, for the Bengals, there was, like, this deep-rooted, for a while it was feeling of association with, like, incompetence and failure, right? Mm-hmm. Then when Marvin Lewis got there, it was like, no, like, this is a pretty steady, you know, winning team, but always losing the playoffs. Always, year after year after year. You get Joe Burrow there, you go to the Super Bowl. Now this year you finished a season with 8 straight wins. Like, after it looked like, oh, okay, maybe they're not going to be a contender. No, and now they go into this, and I think that Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati, those are the teams in the AFC, right, that you look at and you say, like, yeah, like, they got a shot to go all the way.
3 best quarterbacks in the league.
Man, it's incredible. And then Monday night, which will be awesome. Glad we get this Monday night game on ESPN. Be a company boy for a second. I'm pumped about that. Listen to Buck and Aikman and Lisa.
Man, finally get a good game. The motherfuckers ain't called a good game all year.
They had some good games in, like, I feel like the...
At the end?
Early, middle.
Oh, early?
Maybe, yeah, yeah. I feel like they did. But, well, I mean, and they had that... The Jacksonville-Tennessee game was actually interesting the other night. But... I think Tampa's going to win, man. Like, it's as much as Dallas is, like, the more talented team, obviously had the much better season. Tampa's home, obviously the Brady factor. Like, maybe it's just time for the Brady thing to end and this will kind of solidify it. But I just kind of think these two teams have certain inertia, like, that's carried over from other years at this time of year. And I think Tampa wins.
Yeah, I want Tampa to win just for the drama. You know what I'm saying? For the memes and for ESPN and all of the shit that it's going to be on Tuesday morning if the fucking Cowboys actually lose. Yeah. Like, I'm just here for all of that. You know what I'm saying? I don't really think that the Bucs can beat them. Like, they shouldn't be able to beat them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's a mismatch on paper. I don't care where the fucking game's played. Like, the way Tampa's played all year, they've been trash, but the Cowboys, for some reason, love to fucking choke and fuck shit up when it's like in December, January playoff time. So I'm here for it, man. I would love to see the Cowboys lose for no other reason, just for the drama that we're going to get on Tuesday morning.
Just to watch Stephen A. Tuesday morning.
The Mike McCarthy fucking, is he going to get fired? Then we get to hear Jerry Jones later in the week. Like, all of that shit, I'm here for it. So,
Marcus Spears had a great thing the other day on SportsCenter. I was flying back from Miami watching, where he was like, he's like, I don't want to hear it with, like, Mike McCarthy getting fired. He's like, this dude 3 years, he's gotten to playoffs two times. Have they won 12 games twice too, maybe? And he's like, think about what the years were like before he got there. He's like, and I was like, you know, it's a pretty good point. He was like, look at them this year. They were without Dak Prescott for a significant period of time. They still won 12 games. Like, that's pretty impressive.
It is. Yeah, for sure. But that, I mean, that roster though, cuz, like, we can probably put a game plan together. Me and you would probably go win a game with that fucking roster. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I just play action every play. That's it. Play action. But, like,
yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, you get a guy, like, just like what Brian Daboll's been able to do in New York. Like, yeah. Coaching is a, it makes a big liquid.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson's done with the with the Jaguars.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
have fucking
yeah.
Urban Meyer down there is the worst fucking team, worst culture ever. You bring a real NFL coach down there, they make the fucking playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that shit makes a huge difference, you know?
Yeah. All right. So you got Dallas. I got Tampa for that game.
I'm just saying, maybe you bring Sean Payton into Dallas. They may go up. He may be able to take them over the top.
Maybe. He's you a know guy what I'm who's saying? Done it. Yeah. He's a guy who's done it. But McCarthy's done it too. You know, he has done it.
He has done it.
So we know we have advancing in this round. What's your Super Bowl prediction?
My Super Bowl prediction, I'm gonna go Eagles. I'll go Eagles and Joe Burrow.
Okay. Burrow gets back. He's not even taking his teammates with him. It's just gonna be Joe standing on the field.
It's just gonna be Joe and Jamar, cuz that's it. If they're healthy, that's all they need.
That'd be a hell of a 2-on-2 to watch. Oh my gosh. I you know, there's a part of me that thinks Cincinnati with how well they're playing and everything, but my heart wants Buffalo so badly.
It's not even just about it,
obviously the Damar Hamlin thing adds a whole nother layer to it, but
love Buffalo. Yeah.
Same. It's just like, I feel like Buffalo's the team that we all just like have a soft spot for because of the four straight Super Bowl losses.
Yeah, but I just feel like Josh Allen's going to break my heart. Like, he's going to fucking throw, you know what I mean? It's going to be a big moment. He's going to try to do too much and throw a pick at the end of the game, like, in the end zone or in the red zone. So, like, he throws too many timely picks, man, for me to, like, pick them to get to the Super Bowl.
For me to pick them
to get past Kansas City or Cincinnati, he makes too many mistakes. If he can play mistake-free football, they got one of the best rosters. I think they got a better chance in the AFC than probably anybody, but it's just him, his play.
I'm going to still pick them. I want them so badly to win, and really it's more, if I was going with my head, I'd actually pick Kansas City, but I'm going with my heart. I just want Buffalo to be able to, like, this window they have, they've come so friggin' close.
I would love Stephon Diggs to get one too. Like, yeah. I like him, a fan of his.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go Bills and Niners. And I think it would be just having Buffalo there would be incredible. So those are our Super Bowl predictions. See, there are also a little baseball news that broke this week. Carlos Correa finally has a home. What do you make of the saga and him now landing back in Minnesota on the 6-year, $200 million deal?
Man, I think he agreed to like 32 years worth of contracts this offseason.
That's like, right.
Like $500 million he agreed to in contracts. Man, I just think I don't think he personally wanted to go back to Minnesota. I think that was a spot that, you know, he was familiar with. He knew he was going to pass the physical. You know what I'm saying? But I just think that he kind of, just by him being attached to this Astros thing and all of that stuff and being ahead of it, it felt like it kind of shrunk his market. Because when this thing with the Mets blow up, like, Boris could have easily called the Dodgers, right, and been like, hey, we can get, can you get, you want Correa on a 6-year deal?
Yeah.
Like, he could have called the Bronx, like, we need a fucking shortstop. Like, right. You guys want Correa on a 6-year deal, but the fan bases weren't going for it. So it kind of like killed his market where he had to go back to Minnesota. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, especially the Dodger one.
That's
what
I'm saying.
The Dodger one's real interesting.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying, just like when he was going into free agency, like his market is kind of shrunk when you take these the Yankees and the Dodgers out of it.
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of stuck with whoever's just going to throw you money. And I feel like the Giants were just, that was just a cover-up sign. They didn't get Judge, and we're just going to throw this money at Correa because we have it and we need to spend, make a big splash. It's kind of like us signing Aylesbury when we didn't sign Cano that 1 year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that would have been like that kind of deal. I feel like the Mets just were like, hey, he's out there. We can move him to third base. If we can add an extra guy, like, they didn't absolutely have to have him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't teams that just were like, foaming at the mouth to get this guy because, yeah. because he, like, the Dodgers need a shortstop, but they can't bring him to their market. The Yankees need a shortstop. They can't bring him to their market. So he didn't have a market, cuz.
Yeah. You don't think he could have come to the Yankees?
Why didn't he then?
I don't know. I don't know if it was a team decision, but I think the fan base here, if he was producing, would have been more accepting. Like, it sounds like the Dodgers fans were, like, very hardcore, like, hell no on Carlos Correa.
You don't think the Yankees are like that?
I'm sure there are fans for the Yankees that are like that, but I think the Yankee fan is so desperate to win right now because, you know, this gap is very long in Yankee years that they would have accepted him if he helped them win.
I think if they felt comfortable bringing him in, they would have brought him in, cuz.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
yeah,
know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
No,
yeah.
1,000%. Not maybe. Yeah. It's the fucking yeah. Yankees, cuz.
Yeah.
Like 1,000% if they were comfortable with him personally and who he is, he'd be the fucking shortstop for the New York Yankees, period.
Isn't it crazy to think about, too? This is a guy who's still so young. He's so accomplished. He's so good on both sides of the ball. And he has this level of drama, you know. And, I mean, I wonder if these other teams, like the maybe not the Giants, because I think what you outlined was spot on. But I wonder if the Mets will regret it at all just because of the way he might have put them over the top. Like,
man,
but,
the Mets are good, cuz.
I know. Like, they're really good.
I know Escobar got off. I keep saying this. Escobar got off to a bad start in Queens.
But
he's
a really
good fucking player, cuz.
Yeah.
Like, he's a switch hitter, can play third base. He's going to be a really good player. The Mets don't need fucking nobody, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
they're pretty much set. You know what I'm saying? Like, they locked in. I think the only the two teams that need him to put him over the top, the Yankees and the Dodgers.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Mets roster is, they're complete, bro. Like,
yeah.
You're going to take this platinum winning shortstop, gold glove shortstop, and move him to third base? Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, they got the roster's too much, guys. Like, it was too much. So, the two teams that need him is one in the Bronx and is one in Chavez Ravine. And I feel like they didn't want to bring him in because of what it would have did to the fan base.
It's interesting, too. So, he's only 28 years old.
He's young, guys. And he rakes in the playoffs, bro.
Yes, he does.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I mean.
So if you're him and you had, like, you know, 13 for 350 and 12 for 315 and then you end up with 6 for 200. Now, obviously.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Obviously, unless you screw it up, you're good. You're set for life unless you screw that up, right? Obviously, it's a lot of money. And you're going to be a free agent again. At 34,
yeah, yeah.
Presumably, if you're Carlos, are you at all like, oh gosh, like, you know, I could have had another 150, I could have had another 115, or are you like, hey, I got $200 million, and I'm gonna be free agent again in my mid 30s, I'm good.
Yeah, I know he's good, but it's just where he's. It's just the fact that he could have been playing in New York, like having a chance to have all.
So
these
that's what would stand out with you.
That's what would kill me the most is having a chance to come here to New York. With everything that brings. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? And we know what that is. Whatever. Off the field. All of that shit. That it comes to like, I'm about to go to New York and be a part of this. And then like, nah, I'm going to rip that away from you. Now you got to go back to Minnesota. Because like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. not even back to Houston. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going back to Minnesota. Like, God dang. I'm not shitting on the Frank. But it's just, it's a difference.
It's a difference, bro.
It's a difference. Yeah. So. That is probably weighing on him more than the money is, because when you're young and you're in the middle of your career, you feel like I can make the money back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'll be a free agent again. I'll be able to make the money back. It's the fucking where I'm playing, cuz.
Yeah.
And you know, having that chance to play in New York City is something special, something different than playing anywhere else.
Well, he's going to save some money on state income tax now by being in Minnesota rather than in New York or California.
He gonna have to, so. But he's going to spend that money buying fucking jackets and snow boots and shit.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously. Oh, phenomenal. It's interesting to see the saga end. I still am curious if anything else transpires trade-wise or whatever. You know, on the Yankee front, I do still think they need a trusted bat. They need one more trusted, like, I don't want to just say contact-oriented, but, like, a trusted bat.
Somebody but, like, who though? Like, name somebody. Like
I don't know. I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I don't know who it is. You know, like, you know, maybe Peraza and Volpe are going to be so good internally that you don't, you know? But you obviously would feel better about your team if your left field situation wasn't what it is right now. Now, the price tag on Brian Reynolds seems outlandish. So I don't know.
Man,
it seems
like the Rangers
happen.
About to pay that shit, though, huh? It seems like the Rangers about to give it up.
Maybe. I mean, the Rangers, sneaky, like, contender waiting in the wings here with all the
they
moves
are.
They've made, you know?
It just depends on if the Astros pitching is going to be, like, if they're going
to never give up a run.
It's yeah. ridiculous, cuz.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? And if that kid Brown can come in and step up and be what they think he's going to be, then fucking Rangers ain't got no chance.
That's why, like, the Astros pitching is why you need that one more trusted bat. Hitter. Yeah. But, you know, the Yankees might be looking at it and saying, like, that guy isn't available to us now.
And what if that guy is DJ, cuz?
Exactly. He was
You
hurt.
Know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
He was hurt. So, like that, I mean, you know, we haven't been putting DJ in our lineup. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, for me, I we need a leadoff hitter. Who's going to fucking lead off? I don't want Judge leading off.
Well, I want DJ leading off. I like DJ leadoff.
Or
Judge
Bader.
Too. Yeah, if Bader's going to hit like he did last year, then all
you
right, let's
Bader.
Roll.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like DJ leading off. And you're right. Like, it's funny because it doesn't fit the narrative to say, like, you know, not having DJ in the lineup was very significant. But, you know, not having DJ in the lineup was very significant.
Yeah,
not to say they would have won the series,
but
just to say that's a big piece.
But all we keep talking about is just like their lineup needs a contact hitter. We need a contact.
Yes.
We need a guy that makes contact. And that guy that made contact and makes contact was hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And both two guys, it was him and Benintendi.
Yeah.
That really, the Yankees made the right moves last year to make the lineup better and make the team better. It's just the guys got hurt at the end.
Right, exactly. That's why I am curious if they say, hey, let's see what the lineup. Now, some of this isn't going to come to fruition until October, but if they're like, hey, let's see what the lineup. There's nothing appetizing now. Let's see what it looks like with DJ back healthy. Let's see what it looks like Bader full season after, you know, his playoffs. Let's see what it looks like with a Volpe or a Peraza in it. Let's see what it looks like with Cabrera starting left field. And then let's evaluate, because if we need to, we can make a move in season for that hitter we'd need. You know, but maybe that's how they play it.
Yeah, and like, The ransoms usually come down during the season. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
you could ask for all this shit for this guy now because of the numbers that he's put up throughout his career. But once
yeah.
he get into the season, if the guy has like a little bit of a down month or a couple weeks, then the price, you know, usually comes down.
Yeah. No, that's a good point as well.
The guys that you really want, I like to trade for those guys usually during the season. You know what I'm
and
saying?
And there might be some guys available who aren't right now.
Yeah.
You know, and that aspect as well. See? Good stuff, man. Enjoy your football this weekend. Such a great weekend for football, man. It's so
man.
Much fun. And we'll be back to talk about it next week and set up the divisional round as well.
Yep.
Peace, everybody.
Peace.